Hi, everybody. This is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
And welcome to your Cheap Date Show for December 8th, 2007. On this week's show...
Hungry? Thirsty?
Why, yes, I am.
Okay, so am I.
Let's
go.
So...
Well, we'd like to welcome everybody back to the Cheap Date Show.
Thanks for spending a little time with us.
That's right. We appreciate it.
Let's talk thirsty first. Is that okay?
I'm fine with thirsty.
All right. What are you drinking there? Looks like a big cold glass of milk.
It does, doesn't it? But it's got a little yellowish tinge to it.
Ugh.
For this... No. For this is not merely a nondescript dairy drink. This is... I was wondering... Here, let me tell you a little story. Come with me on this one. I'm in the Jewel, which is a grocery store here in the Chicago area. Other areas, it's called Albertsons. I'm walking through, and I notice on the shelf, Southern Comfort Eggnog. Now, as you know, I'm a big fan of the eggnog.
Mm.
Big fan of eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
Oberweis Dairy, we've mentioned them many times here before. They make an incredible eggnog. You don't even like eggnog, so you can't really be a
no,
judge
I
of
really
this.
Don't.
But it's the most amazing stuff you've ever had. Now... When I saw this Southern Comfort stuff, I thought, oh, you know, it's another branding thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a recipe on the side of the carton. 1 quart of Southern Comfort eggnog.
Which is non-alcoholic.
It's just eggnog.
Yeah.
You mix in, how much was it?
A cup.
A cup of Southern Comfort.
To a quart.
To a quart. Good morning. That's a wake me up. You dip some bread in that. You throw it in the frying pan. You got French toast with, oh, see, now you're
talking my language.
Now you're not looking so skeptical now, are you? You got SoCo French toast.
I never even thought about eggnog for French toast.
We'll have a report on the test kitchen experiment later on. So anyway, I did not mix up an entire quart. What I mixed up was 8 ounces with 2 ounces of Southern Comfort. And this is actually pretty good. Yeah, I've only had about 3 or 4 sips of it, but it's pretty good. Mmm. You have something sort of foamy and festive looking. Oh, you're supposed to scrape nutmeg on top of this as well, which
yeah,
I neglected
too,
to do.
Like I have time for that. All right. This is a retro drink. This is called a Hot Tom and Jerry.
Really? How retro is that?
Goes back to 19th century London, actually. But apparently it was really hot like in the 50s and 60s.
So you're saying both Bob Cratchit and Rob Petrie probably drank one of those?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow.
This is very much what Bob Cratchit might have drunk, yeah.
While he was smoking a bowl with with Scrooge at the end of a Christmas
anyway.
Carol. That's what they did. They smoked a bowl.
It was a bowl of smoking something. It's an egg white and an egg yolk beaten separately. Some sugar and pumpkin pie type spices are incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this light, foamy pumpkin pie flavored. It does have a distinctly pumpkin pie flavor.
It really does.
But the foam is very light. It's not as heavy as whipped cream would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then the drink is brandy, rum, and hot water or hot milk. I think actually hot milk might have been better because... And maybe spiced rum, too. I use dark rum because that's what the recipe called for, but more spice in the drink. The foam is good, but the spice isn't getting into the drink, you know what I mean?
I'm
it just tastes
you.
Like brandy and rum and hot water.
Does it need to sit, or does it need to sort of become cohesive in some way? Does it need to hang out? Does it need to, like, hang out together?
I don't think so, although I will say that it's been sitting now for a few minutes, and the stuff that looks like whipped cream on top is not melting. It's a little much for me, the brandy and the rum, and to be quite honest, but
we'll see if you make it to the end of the show. By the end of the show, Lisa's going to be
guarantee I'm not going to make it to the bottom of this mug.
We'll have a full report later in the show. Meanwhile,
I'll tell you what: if you were cold, it would warm you up instantly.
That's the one thing I noticed when Lisa handed it to me to taste it before. I said, you know, this really evokes the image of sitting in a ski lodge somewhere and. Gstaad or
mm-hmm.
Innsbruck or someplace in a mountain
mm-hmm.
surrounded by blonde chicks and
okay
down.
in long underwear.
Well, excuse me, That's okay. Let's talk about why this episode is called... We explained what Thirsty was about. Let's talk about Hungry? I'm Ron Burgundy?
It's not every day that you go to a restaurant with a question mark in the name.
That's true. Yes, we're talking about the Hungry Restaurant. Hungry Restaurant is a brand new place that opened on Algonquin Road in Rolling Meadows, right near, well, it's in a brand new little mini strip center next to a couple of existing strip centers, which also has the Walmart and the Sam's Club as well.
Oh my gosh, where do we live?
We live in retail heaven.
Heaven?
Dum, dum, dum. So the Hungry Restaurant, which is located in Rolling Meadows, Illinois, near the Walmart and yada, 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 is a place that just opened. The guy who owns it, who opened it, was a chef at Le Francais, which is considered to be one of the top restaurants in the nation, if not the world.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, it was in the paper.
Well, I do now.
Well, yeah. So take that information and do what you will with it. They're calling themselves American casual fast food, something along those lines. You walk up, they have the classic thing which a lot of fast food places have. They have the lit menu board over the register behind the register. You order, you pay, and then they give you a little flag to put on your table, and then they bring the food out to you. And then they bus the tables for you too as well, which is something I thought was a very nice touch. There's nary a garbage can in sight. They actually bus the tables for you and take the stuff away.
So it is a step up from fast food typically.
Right. The food is pretty much fast food fare, but I was actually pretty impressed with what I had. Now, you had the...
I had the turkey mushroom burger.
Mm-hmm.
It was really very good.
It had... How is that made?
It's a turkey burger with mushrooms.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
I'm going to need you to go ahead and...
Oh, it's homemade. Ground seasoned turkey breast, sautéed mushrooms, melted mozzarella cheese on a whole wheat bun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. I also had chicken noodle soup, I think, which was... is that what it was? Oh, it's not on the menu, but... Yeah, I had chicken noodle soup, which was good, but not outstanding. But the turkey burger, especially a turkey mushroom burger, was a little bit off the beaten path, so that was interesting. The menu is really... Well, I'll let you talk about what you had.
Okay. I had the... buffalo chicken sandwich, which I expected to be like a buffalo chicken sandwich, the sort of thing you would get at, let's say, Max and Irma's, which is breaded and fried and then covered with Frank's Red Hot Sauce.
Mm-hmm.
That was not what this was. Now, I know, and I took some grief from some of our listeners over the fact that I went over the buns a lot about Topa Tavern and Grill in our last show. It was a very fresh bun, I'll tell you that much. Their breads were very fresh here. But the chicken breast was not breaded. It was a chicken breast which had been grilled and then tossed with buffalo sauce. And then they put this spicy blue cheese spread on it.
Oh, I didn't see the spicy blue cheese spread.
Oh, yeah. And it was good. It wasn't like some synthetic-y type of thing. This was really good. Heavy-duty blue cheese stuff.
Oh, you didn't really mention that to me.
I did, actually, as a matter of fact.
Oh, sorry. Well, I tasted the sauce.
I think the Tom and Jerry is kicking in.
My apologies. I tasted the sauce. It was a pretty standard buffalo sauce, but I also thought it was interesting that it was a grilled buffalo chicken, not fried.
Not fried. And it was very good.
Good.
And very good pickles with that. And then we also got a basket of fries. Well, the pickles were good. I've had lousy pickles, I'll tell you. Nothing will come close to the best pickles I ever had in a restaurant, though.
Oh, here we go. Where were those?
Those were at the Belden Deli, a chain of which used to be all over the Chicago area, and now they're gone. But the Belden was a classic deli where you'd walk in, and they would have a little metal bowl on every table.
Oh, the free pickles.
With free pickles. Complimentary pickles.
You people ate them right out of business.
I think we did. We also had a basket of fries with it, and they were very good.
The fries were good. The
fries were very good. In fact, they were well. I love my fries well done, and they got them to us well done without even having to ask for it. So that's what we had. Now, they have a pretty good sandwich menu. They also have,
and this is why I say the question mark is the most original thing there. Not because it's lousy or lame, but because it brings together different elements of different types of restaurants. It's almost like a restaurant digest.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that.
In terms of having burgers, lots of different burgers, lots of different hot dogs. Well, no. There's a hot dog and a franchisee, but then they have a lot of different burgers.
Right.
But then they have gyros. This is going to sound silly to people who are not into Chicago fast food, but you get used to a very particular type of menu and sort of a menu hierarchy. Like, you have to cover all the hot dog and Italian beef bases. If you are going to have hot dogs at all, you have to really do the hot dog before you move on to the hamburger, usually.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
You have to cover the hot dog bases. Then you usually move on to cover the Italian beef and sausage bases before you move on to something like gyros. Would you agree with that?
I would agree.
Or am I wrong here?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So this place has gyros but no Italian beef, which just seems strange. And like a year or a few years ago, I wouldn't have known what to make of that. But now it seems, I mean, I wouldn't have cared. But now it seems weird.
Mm-hmm.
Not weird in a bad way, just...
just different.
Unusual.
Right.
They also have a lot of different salads, which you don't see around here.
They have
here
a ton
so
of different
often.
Salads. They have, they have a chopped fresh fruit salad. They have a tuna, turkey, or crab meat with cottage cheese, potato salad, coleslaw. They call it the Hungry Trio.
The mayonnaise trio?
No. They have a Cajun fried turkey breast salad. They have a Chinese chicken salad. They have a chopped salad. They have a Greek salad and a village salad. Which is, you have a lot of Greek restaurants, which is no lettuce. It's just fresh veggies, tomatoes, cucumbers, good. Onions, and then you put feta and then Greek dressing on that. We've had that at the Greek Islands
mm-hmm.
before. That's
I
really
have
good.
Had that.
Back on the sandwiches, one of the things that they're known for or that they're proud of is their signature sirloin steak sandwich. So that's pretty good. They also have pulled pork, jerk pork, Reuben corned beef. They have a double stuffed portobello mushroom sandwich, which sounds pretty interesting. Turkey avocado ranch. They do have gyros there, and mm-hmm. I did verify that it's gyros on the spit. Now, for those of you, or doner kebabs for some of you outside the area, there are places that will sell gyros sandwiches, but the meat, and we've talked about this on the show before, rather than cutting it off the big spit, they actually have like patties, or almost like steakums, and they just throw them on the grill and mm-hmm. grill them up that way, and then they put them on your plate, and it's kind of gross. They don't do that at Hungry. They have a regular
and then
spit thing.
Touch on some of the other house specialties. Fish and chips, meatloaf.
Yeah.
Shepherd's pie.
Mm-hmm. Tex-Mex cakes, which is spicy chicken, corn, black beans, peppers, onions, and cheese on a bed of french fries with avocado dipping sauce.
I can't even envision this.
I can't even envision this. I mean, it sounds
like
interesting.
Combination of food.
It does.
But
they have something called backyard barbecue chicken, which is half chicken marinated and crusted with our unique spice blends. And then they have all kinds of sides. Their sides are vegetables, salad, coleslaw, cottage cheese, rice pilaf, fries, potato salad, garlic, mashed potatoes, and homemade soup. They have French onion soup, chicken soup, and then a soup of today. That's what the receipt says.
That's correct. I remember that. So, yeah, there's nothing especially unusual, although the Tex-Mex cakes, that's... I've never heard of that before, but there's nothing especially unusual here, but it's put together in kind of an interesting menu.
Yeah. And it was all very reasonable. The sandwiches generally run anywhere from $4.95 to the steak sandwiches $7.95. It's all reasonable, and I think that is the most expensive thing on the menu. Everything else is...
Oh, well, some of the specialties, like if you get...
Oh, there's a shish kebab plate for $8.75.
Yeah,
but for the most part, everything is pretty much under mm-hmm. everything is pretty much under that price. So it's a good place. A good place to go for family. It's a different place if you're looking for something that's an alternative to some of the other fast food places around there, around the area.
Yeah, if you're out and you want to grab something to eat, especially if you have four people all with very different tastes.
Actually,
as we do,
good point.
You know, it's one thing for one person to be in the mood for, say, Baja Fresh, which is also over there. But to have four people all in the mood for it at the same time, not likely.
Not so much.
Same thing with Panera, Portillo's, almost anything else. But here, the kids aren't going to have anything to complain about.
Right.
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay. They serve breakfast. We'll mention that as well. They have a small breakfast menu, but it looks interesting. They have three eggs any style. They have croissant bagel sandwiches. They have something they call Barnola. which is their all-natural homemade mix of whole grains and nuts with raisins, pomegranate, and a secret spice blend. And it's served with the yogurt.
That sounds good.
They have a various types of omelets. They also have a create-your-own scrambler. So you can check them out at breakfast time. I think they open around 8 or so for breakfast. So check them out. Again, 1673 Algonquin Road, Rolling Meadows, Illinois.
You gonna feed me the words? You'd be my... How's it start? Sleigh bells ring, hear them jingle. Are you listening? In the lane. Yeah. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we are happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Second verse. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. It's kind of absurd when you don't know the words to sing. Walking in a winter wonderland.
So now we're in the holiday season. Full force. I'm looking at a beautiful tree with ornaments.
So hoop-de-doo and dickery-dock.
And don't forget to turn back your clock. Oh, no, that was...
You just can't leave lyrics alone, can you, smart guy?
No, I can't. Hey, we have a couple of things to report that we want to share with the folks out there in podcast land. Listenerville.
Oh, jeez.
First of all... So a little bit of sad news. Actually, we have two pieces of really not sad news. Do you want the sad news or the sadder news first? And
wow.
I promise you, those are the only bummers we'll have, and then everything else is going to be all uphill after that. So
okay, well, let's start with the most sad.
The more sad news is, and this was very distressing to me and some other people that I know. We've mentioned... Arnott's original cookies on the show before, which are known in Australia. They're from Australia. In Australia, they're known as Tim Tams. Probably my favorite cookie of all time. Let's just leave it at that.
Wow.
I know. That's really
something.
That's something to say. Arnott's are awesome cookies. They are, for just so you know, they're chocolate. Not wafer, but I guess they're sort of like chocolate, not wafers in the sense of like sugar wafers, but like chocolate cookies with a chocolatey vanilla cream filling, and the whole thing is coated in chocolate. Mm-hmm. And you can do all kinds of neat things with them, like dip them in your coffee or suck milk through them and stuff like that. It's very cool. Anyway, I got news this week that World Market, Cost Plus World Market, which is the company, the store that sells these things in the United States, is discontinuing them.
Oh, so that's the only place you can get them outside Australia?
That's the only place you can get them outside Australia.
Or
so,
in the States anyway.
Right. So if you are a fan of the cookies and you have a World Market near you, head on over there and clean them out. There's a World Market near my office, and some lady went in there and cleaned them out, all except for one package. And this is how I found out about it, because I asked the manager of that department what happened to them. And she said, oh, no, that's the last package we have. Then she took my name and she said, I got another case coming in, so if you want them, they're yours. So she took my name and phone number. So if they come in, they're mine.
So
I'll split them with people.
Yeah, Joe's going to have the black market cornered on Arnott's.
So if you're a fan of Arnott's, head on over to World Market and buy them while you can, because very soon they're going to be gone. And if you're in Australia, you're just plain lucky, because they're not going anywhere. They're good stuff.
So that was the saddest
news? That's the sadder of the sad news stories.
Okay, well.
The other sad news story was the fact that we did a review last year of Cereality, which is the all cereal store.
Oh, this is sadder than the Arnott's thing.
Well, I find the other one sadder, but Evidently Cereality was purchased by the company who also owns Cold Stone Creamery. You've been to Cold Stone. In fact, we talked about it. We said the concept of Cereality is very close to what Cold Stone is.
Right.
Shortly after they bought Cereality, back in May of earlier this year, they went and they closed a whole bunch of stores, including the one in Chicago that we went to, and there was one up in Evanston, which is open for about 6 months, and then they closed it. So
is that the end of Cereality?
No, they're actually, they still have them open. They're just not open around Chicago. There's one located in Tempe, Arizona, There is one located in Newark, New Jersey, and there's one located in State College, PA. And also there's one at the University of Pennsylvania as well. So
interesting, but not Chicago.
Not Chicago and not Florida, which is where they were started. So the whole concept has sort of moved elsewhere. But I was actually surprised. I thought that this would actually do very well in Evanston.
In Evanston, maybe more so than downtown.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to figure out who the market for Seriality is going to be. It's there. It can happen.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's interesting that they're trying some different markets. That might work.
Yeah. Well, good luck to them. So good luck.
Okay. Well, then your original sadness hierarchy was correct. I apologize for questioning it.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So I think that's going to wrap up everything we have. We'd like to wish everyone who celebrates it a happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah runs from the 5th through the 12th, so we're right in the middle of the Festival of Lights.
We're making latkes tomorrow?
We are. In fact, we'll even share that experience on our next show. We'll talk about our dinner.
And one
of the things I'm going to be doing is making my famous latkes,
yes.
Which we think...
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah, and pretty, not too shabby. So happy Hanukkah to all of you who are celebrating it. And we also like to thank everyone for the feedback on the tree lighting video that we put out there. It was kind of fun. It was really, really cold, but we had fun. I had fun putting it together. And you got a little bit of a taste of what it's like to live in this wonderful town of ours where the mayor talks for 20 minutes on end while everyone's waiting for her to throw a switch to turn the lights on in the tree. And I mean that in the kindest possible sense.
And with this wonderful family who waits so patiently, even in the coldest weather.
But it was a good time. So thank you to everyone for the feedback on the video. And also, we did hear from several people who are listening to us through the Zune Marketplace, Mrs. Smarty Pants. So
welcome, Zune listeners.
Welcome, Zune listeners. And also you iPod listeners and you web listeners and everyone who listens to this from all around the wonderful cyber universe that we live in which we're living.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay, next time up, we're going to have a Christmas show. We have some ideas for what it's going to entail.
Don't you mean a holiday show?
Well, it comes out on the 22nd.
No, I'm kidding.
And it's going to be a Christmas show. The whole thing. It's 365 holidays with us, pal.
That's
everyone
right.
Knows
every
that.
Day is a holiday.
We're celebrating
with you.
Something.
Aww. Celebrating our life together.
Yeah. That's right.
I want cake.
Okay.
If it's a holiday.
We'll pull some cake together. So anyway, if anyone wants to get a hold of us and throw us any good cheer or bad cheer or whatever, well, we want to hear your bad cheer. We just want to hear the good cheer. How can people get a hold of us?
I suggest email.
And that email address would be?
usecheapdateshow@gmail.com.
Or you can check our website out at cheapdateshow.com. You can find us on iTunes. You know where to find us. We're all over the place.
If you didn't, you wouldn't be listening.
That's right, for heaven's sake. You can also leave us a voicemail at 206-203-3283. We'd like to thank everyone for all the feedback that we're getting. It's all right. How's that drink doing? You haven't touched it.
No, I'm no.
It's a little too manly for you?
It is.
Okay.
Brandy and rum.
Well, we'll figure something out.
Who am I kidding?
All right, thanks for listening. We will talk to you in a fortnight. And in the meantime, here's Lisa with a tip for all of you.
That's horrible. Don't bet on the horses.
Oh, come on. No, it has to be a holiday tip.
A holiday tip? You just...
If you run out of ornament hangers, use...
I use paper clips.
There you go. Okay. Thank you for the holiday tip. Have a wonderful holiday season. We'll talk to you just before Christmas.
Good night.
Love is you, love is me, love is you. This podcast is a production of Jeep Date Media at jeepdatemedia.com.